steps into it. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Hello, hello, let's go. It's your man, Flip Mozzie, and thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. So much happened with NFL free agency in the last week. There are two new big-name Vikings, Kirk Cousins and Sheldon Richardson. But it's only March, guys. We got time. So today I'm going to focus on our guys, 2017 Vikings who entered free agency, where they are now, which ones are still free, and maybe we should bring a couple of them back, right? So yeah, we're going to look into that. I'll go through position group by position group, going in order of jersey number to have some fun with it. Jersey number for the 2017 Vikings who are now free agents. Let's get it started. Okay, here we go. Starting with number two, Kai Forbath. Kai is not my favorite guy. He missed a key field goal in the playoff game against the Saints. Finished 2017 at 16th in field goal percentage and 30th in extra points. He missed 5 extra points. Now, I will say that the field goal stats are a bit misleading. He took more long field goals than most of the kickers in the league. But you got to bring in some camp competition for this guy at the least. It's hard to argue he deserves a raise. Kai made $775K last year. Cody Parkey was the only realistic upgrade in free agency, and he signed with Chicago on a 4-year, $15 million contract, making Parkey a top 5 kicker in salary. That's a lot of cash. I'm not trying to spend that on kicker, so re-sign Forbath, get a rookie in to compete, and that's really all I care to talk about special teams. Next is number 5, Teddy Bridgewater and the quarterbacks. Look, it's hard to add more to this conversation. The quarterbacks have been talked about so much. Teddy is in New York on a 1-year deal. Sam gets overpaid in Arizona, and Case Keenum is the man in Denver. But here's a take on this that I don't think many are talking about. Robert Mays and Kevin Clark brought this up on their podcast with The Ringer, and I'm going to dive into it a little bit more. The Minnesota Vikings, playing in a flyover state, are in the center of the NFL right now. And I'm not saying that because the Super Bowl was just in Minneapolis. It's not because they just signed the top 2018 free agent. Take a step back and think about this. Right now, Teddy Bridgewater's knee injury is the inflection point in the NFC. If Teddy doesn't get injured, the Vikings don't trade for an injury-prone Sam, Case Keenum doesn't have a breakout 2017, and the Vikings aren't even in the market to give Kirk Cousins a fully guaranteed contract. So let's step through all of these. First, the Eagles. They use Minnesota's draft pick from the Bradford trade to nab Derek Barnett and clear the way for Carson Wentz to get a full year under his belt before breaking out in 2017. They also signed Nick Foles to be backup instead of sticking with Bradford. The Cardinals, Broncos, and Jets all plucked their quarterbacks from Minnesota a year later. The Browns, clearly taken out of the Cousins race, trade with the Bills for Tyrod Taylor. And finally, the Packers, Falcons, Seahawks, and Panthers all have franchise quarterbacks that need new contracts by 2020. They'll have to negotiate those deals under the precedent of a fully guaranteed contract, like the one that was given to Kirk. That's 11 teams, one-third of the NFL, directly affected by Teddy Bridgewater's catastrophic knee injury. We'll be playing the What If Teddy game for a long, long time. Moving on, you have to pour one out for number 17, Jarius Wright. Only one word can describe Wright's 6-year career here: underutilized. Despite consistent production every time he took the field, Wright was continuously buried on the depth chart behind scrub wide receivers like Michael Jenkins, Jerome Simpson, Cordero Patterson, and Charles Johnson. Wright's 13.3 yards per reception and 25.8 yards per game compares favorably to all of them. He feasts in the slot, as do Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Those guys went on to bigger roles, so I'll never understand why Wright's roles wasn't expanded. I trust Wright in this offense way more than Laquon Treadwell. They gotta bring him back. Cutting Wright means they have to keep Treadwell, who just hasn't fit in this offense yet. Some fans consider trading Laquon, but Minnesota can't really entertain that idea without Wright. It would leave them too thin at the position. Remember that number 18, Michael Floyd, is a free agent too. Floyd received 17 targets last year after a 5-year career where he never caught less than 37 balls, so 10 catches was a huge letdown year for him. His yards per reception were also way down to 7.8, almost half of his career average. Floyd just isn't a priority in free agency, but I do think he could be a steal for any team willing to commit to him. I didn't anticipate seeing this much turnover at wide receiver. The Vikings still have bigger needs, but free agent wide receivers like Kendall Wright, Jordan Matthews, and Ryan Grant could bolster depth at the position. So this is a lot. We're saying goodbye to Teddy, Sam, Case, Jarius Wright, and Michael Floyd. And we're saying goodbye to number 21, Jerick McKinnon, too. Jet is now the man in San Francisco. He got what he was wishing for, a starting role on a big 4-year, $30 million deal. While I really enjoyed McKinnon during his time as a Viking, both his play on the field and his fun antics on the sideline, I just don't think he's a slam dunk feature back, even in today's NFL. He's got a career average 4 yards per carry. Last year he achieved success on 45% of his runs, good for 20th. He's phenomenal in the pass game with an 11th best success rate while catching the ball last year. Jerick takes advantage of plays that put him in the open field. He runs great routes and has amazing hands. He accelerates quickly as a runner, but I'd expect a guy with his skill set to force more missed tackles. It'll be fun to see him getting a starting opportunity, but he's not worth $10.5 million. That's a bad contract. He's not worth more than Deion Lewis or Carlos Hyde. He still needs to be paired with a guy who can do what Latavius Murray does. Speaking of Latavius Murray, I just don't get all the shade he gets given that we all love Jet so much. Sure, he only posted 3.9 yards per carry last year, but Jet was at 3.8. His 46% success rate shows that he was better than McKinnon in his role, grinding out tough yards on short yardage and goal line situations. How many times did we see Tay Train barrel in the end zone, a stark upgrade from 2016? How could you not want him back as an insurance option to Cook when he just performed that role so solidly in 2017? Who better to rest Cook coming off an ACL tear than a bruiser like Murray who can take several big hits in place of the primary back? Latavius Murray is 28 years old, he's still under 1,000 carries, and we know what he is. That's the type of guy who allows for continuity in the backfield. Give me at least one more year of that. The Vikings revised Murray's deal, trimming about $1.3 million off his 2018 cap hit and eliminating 2019. Some of you may have wanted a bigger restructure, but Minnesota was smart here. Paying him before cutting him was the right call. Next down the aisle is number 23, Terrence Newman, and the defensive backs. Newman keeps going and going and going and going, and he doesn't look done, which actually puts the Vikings in a great situation here. We relied on Terrence to be a mainstay in the secondary as Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander develop, but now those two guys have arrived. So what is Newman's role now? I honestly don't know. The stable secondary allows us to bring him back, but at the same time, you want to bring in a younger, longer-term answer. And it's probably time to draft a guy, too. So that's where I think the Vikings should head. Re-signing Newman isn't a priority, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it might come down to Newman versus Marcus Sherrills in training camp, which is crazy. I actually think it's more important to keep number 59, Emmanuel Lamer, at linebacker. He's a serviceable backup who didn't have to play much in 2017 with Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks staying healthy. Lamer did play a solid amount of special teams with 166 snaps, 10th on the team in that category, so he's effectively a special team starter, and we didn't see enough from the young guys, Ben Gideon, Kentrell Brothers, Eric Wilson, to make me think that Lemur is expendable. Outside linebacker has a really poor free agent group this year, especially the depth options. I guess if you want to bring Gerald Hodges or Mike Mauhi back, you could. Those are super random names to see on this free agent list. Audie Cole is here too. But really, let's just bring Lemur back. Maybe lower his cap hit from the $2.8 million he got over the last 2 years. Now we get to some key positions. The trenches. Easily the most important part of Minnesota's free agency, after quarterback, of course. Here, my main theme is continuity. Too often as fans, we see an athlete at the end of his run and we say, cut him and bring in a new guy. And that's just not how it should be done. It has terrible drawbacks if the new player isn't immediately ready. The right move is a smooth transition. Look at how Adrian Peterson took the reins from Chester Taylor, or how Waynes and Kendrick slowly phased out Newman and Greenway. Look at how Hunter took over for Robeson. That's how you do it. And that's the strategy Minnesota should employ along both lines, if possible. So you look at number 61, Joe Berger. We gotta bring him back and pair him with a rookie. Berger's age, 35, and his talk about retirement last year led us to think that 2017 might be his last. But he's apparently had a change of heart, and he was one of Minnesota's best offensive linemen last year. There weren't many signs of him slowing down. Joe is reportedly choosing between retirement, his home state Detroit Lions, and the Vikings. Joe, buddy, we got a spot for you right here. I know you're a good Midwest man, that you want to keep on playing with Pat Elflein from Ohio and Riley Reiff from South Dakota. You and Kirk grew up an hour from each other. What an opportunity to protect another Michigan native. Come on, man, just stay a while. So I've got Berger back, and I've got number 75, Jeremiah Searles, coming back too. He's gonna have to win his spot in training camp again. Now we flip to the other side of the line with the defensive tackles, number 92, Tom Johnson, and number 93, Shamar Stephen. It's almost the exact same story, an aging vet and a young depth option who has seen a lot of snaps over the last 2 years. And you know what? I'd do the exact same thing strategically as the offensive line if it weren't for the big Sheldon Richardson signing that took place last week. Defensive tackle was a bigger need for the Vikings, so bringing in Richardson on a one-year deal worth $8 million makes all the sense in the world. They've got a known trench champion rather than a rookie. That will help that much more, because the Vikings really need more viable linemen as part of their rotation. Last year, Minnesota sported a six-man rotation with Griffin, Hunter, Johnson, Joseph, Robeson, and Steven. That's a strong, effective group. But the heavy snap load for them showed itself. They looked fatigued for the most important games in the playoffs. Wouldn't it be awesome to see a 7- or 8-man rotation? Bring back Shamar Stephen, increase snaps for Jaleel Johnson and Stephen Weatherly, and bring in a mid-round rookie as well. And that's it. All of our key 2017 free agents reviewed. We're wishing the best to Teddy, Case, Sam, Jet, Michael, and Tom. We're keeping Kai, Jarius, Latavius, Emmanuel, Joe, Jeremiah, and Shamar. And cornerback is an absolute toss-up. Thanks for listening, guys. Time to shut it down.